this section, we find that Paul gives us his perspective on life. And it's something that if we can learn to develop this in our own lives, it will actually not only be a blessing to us, it will be a blessing to others. Now, whether you're aware of it or not, our perspective on life is incredibly important. How you view life is incredibly important. How you conduct yourself in your life is so important, because it can either make us or break us. It will have an effect on our lives. So having a positive perspective in life is, as we know, it's easier said than done. And you might even be thinking, especially today, with the things that we're living in, the days we're living in, and for many people who are dealing with restrictions, they have the fear of catching COVID-19, and it's actually led to a lot of anxiety and stress for people as a result of that. To date, we find the numbers have increased rapidly for those who are affected by mental health issues. It's now reckoned in Scotland that one in every three people have been affected in some manner with their mental health. So that means if it's not you, it's somebody you know. That's the ratio of that. It's quite an amazing statistic. So as believers in Christ, God is looking to support his children by helping us change our perspective away from those areas that, you know, would see us affected with stress, anxiety, whatever. And, you know, Paul had as much reason as anyone to have suffered with the kind of mental health condition. And yet we find through his letter that his perspective actually brought him to a positive, healthy understanding of life. And also in his faith, there was a strength in amongst his own difficult circumstances. So hopefully it's something that can help us as we consider the difficult circumstances that we live in and look at what Paul done and how he changed that, how he adapted his thinking, how he coped with times like that. So, you know, it's bringing balance into life is never that simple, especially when you have, you know, a lot of stuff going on around you. There's a lot of things that we find ourselves concerned about today. So how did Paul manage to have a positive perspective in the midst of tough times? Our reading this morning, we're going to read Philippians in chapter 1, verse 12 to 26. The heading for that is Paul's chains advance the gospel. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 through to 26. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defence of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am going to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labour for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me." Great words there that just shows a whole picture of how he deals with his situation and how he looks at it and see that God is still at work, God is still advancing in people's lives and they're being transformed. So here Paul is writing to a church that he planted about 10 years before. He's writing to them from prison, so it's obvious he's restricted, he's limited, and he's quite literally in chains. He is with no freedom and almost no privacy, being chained to a guard 24/7. You know, Paul would be responsible for maintaining himself during imprisonment. That would be including his meals and clothes. Although Paul's Roman citizenship meant that he was eligible for a daily food allowance. But Paul depended on his friends and his fellow believers to supply to his needs for his food, for clothing. Imprisonment in itself carried with it a social stigma. And it would have been easy for the Philippians to turn their back on Paul. Certainly at this point, when he's away from them and they know that he's in prison, it'd be quite easy to just turn their back. And sometimes we find ourselves in that situation when people are removed from being near us, it's quite easy just to distance ourselves. But here we find Paul is thanking these people because of their faithfulness, that while he's in prison, they've stuck with him. They've stayed with him. So you can understand his gratitude for the Philippian church and for their loyalty to the gospel. Social stigma obviously isn't new. Today we still find that many people are facing this. People will hide how they really feel for the fear of rejection. And this would also apply to even reformed characters who have moved on. But they still choose to hide the very things that they've been through. You know, whether it's been prison, addiction or mental health issues. There are many people who just rather hide away rather than let people know what they've been through. So rather than being, you know, being looked down upon or excluded from any group, Paul speaks it out. He makes it known exactly what it is that he's going through. And from all that we read and we see that he continued to receive support, he get help and he get acceptance. So he was not rejected. For us today, it's the not knowing. How will people react if I tell them? How will they respond if I tell them what I've been through, what I've done, how I'm feeling? And quite often, that can actually put people off sharing how they're really feeling, what they're going through, because of that dread. That may change how you feel about me. That may change your conduct towards me. And so it creates this apprehension within us. But here, Paul's making it plain, listen, this is what's happening here. This is what I'm going through. You know, as believers in Christ who look to him for trust and guidance, perhaps we need to look at our perspective on life and learn to speak out or at least share our experience in life. You know, I wonder how many people Paul has helped over the years with his open book philosophy on life. Same way, there could be numerous people that we could help when we share the challenges, the battles, overcoming grief, or simply how we've been sustained while enduring the difficulties of life, making it known how God has helped you get you through situations and helping strengthen others by imparting that knowledge to them. And of course, we know that not everyone welcomes this approach. But then we need to think, on who are we dependent? On where do we turn when we're rejected? Are facing rejection or the thought of rejection? Where do we turn? So as Paul shares about his imprisonment, he doesn't hide the fact that not everyone accepts him or his message. It's clear that he has some enemies in the church, people who are trying to shame him because of his arrest, and also he's waiting on a trial coming up before the emperor. And it's true, as he says, that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry. So he had his enemies. Not everybody was supporting him. Not everybody was helping him. So all of us have to live with the fact that not everyone will like how you conduct yourself or your life. That's the reality. They may not agree with your stance on certain truths within Scripture, or they don't like the decisions that you've made. But whenever you hold to the truth of what you believe, following Jesus means we will have to face up to the reality that sometimes life as a Christian is tough. It's difficult. It's not always easy. So the reality of life can be tough, even for God's people. When people tell you as a Christian that everything is rosy, nothing ever goes wrong, there's a wee doubt hits up in my mind. When you know the reality of yourself, of what life is like. And looking at this, it actually led me to some interesting facts of how God used prisons in enormously powerful ways, when these circumstances are actually used to convey the gospel to others rather than cower away. You know, you can imagine people going out to prison and they just stay there until they've done their time or face whatever. When I had been looking this up, in 1593, it was John Bunyan who was arrested for illegal preaching, and he was jailed for 12 years for it. It was an offence to attend a religious gathering other than the parish church with more than five people outside their family. When I read that, I thought, that sounds like the restrictions we live in today. That's what they were to live with. He obviously broke that and ended up in jail as a result of that. While he was there, he wrote the book, The Pilgrim's Progress. And this book has actually been in continuous print. Now, remember, this is 1593. It's been in continuous print since then. And it's the second best-selling book of all time after the Bible. It's amazing to think. The man was in jail, used that time, and as a result of that, we have this book that we still read today. I only got around to reading it a year or so ago. It's good, I recommend it. So you have John Bunyan. In 1943, you may have heard of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was jailed for speaking against the Nazi government. He fought against having their churches co-opted into the Nazi government for propaganda purposes. He did not want to be a part of that, and he was very vocal in speaking out against the Nazi party. So it didn't make him very popular, to say the least. So he was imprisoned for this. And, excuse me, while he was there, he wrote letters to friends, to students at the time. And these letters were smuggled out by sympathetic prison guards. So he even found favour in prison at the time of the Nazis being in control. He found sympathetic guards who helped smuggle out these letters that he'd written. It was on the 9th of April 1945, Bonhoeffer was hanged. Taken from prison, and he was hanged then. And it was just 14 days short of the Americans coming and freeing everybody from the prisoner of war camps. It was only just 2 weeks away from being free. But God used that time. He was effective for God even during that time. So the letters and papers that were smuggled out were later published in 1951. And there's a claim that says they are unmatched by any other book of Christian reflection written in the 20th century. Bonhoeffer's last words before being hanged, he stood up and he said, "This is the end. For me, the beginning of life." That positive attitude was in him, and it carried on with him right through to the end. Then the last one, in the early 1990s, was a house church leader in China, Brother Yun. He was arrested 3 times in China and then for a 4th time in 2001 in Burma. And again, it was for proclaiming the name of Jesus. His 3rd imprisonment was a particularly dark period in his life, as the prison guards in the maximum security prison where he was held were determined to prevent his escape. So they beat his legs to cripple him permanently. They'd beaten him up every day, even when he was in a crippled state. This was something that they continually done to him. During his time in prison, he would remember Bible verses, and he would be recounting promises from God, you know, from the Word, things that he could recall. He would sing praises to God, all of which helped comfort him and strengthen him during this time. And as he regularly sang in prison, he actually became known as a singing prisoner. At one point, however, following 4 days of severe torture and darkness, it was that bad he could not sing. For 4 days, where they just constantly beat him. And then it was several days later, one of the guards blurted out, "Sing another song." And he did. He got up and he sang. He'd done it again, and for that, it stirred up his spirit. He started to regain strength through that. Today, he still continues to sing one of the songs through which, you know, helped bring joy into his life during his season of suffering. And it was, "Hallelujah, glory to my God and King." You see how the perspective on life lifts your spirit, changes the perspective, no matter how dark or how painful that time may be. You know, his last experience in China culminated in a miraculous escape from a maximum security prison. One day, God instructed him to escape from prison, and the word was confirmed by a brother in Christ. So on May the 5th, 1997, he simply walked past dozens of guards out of the maximum security prison. It was almost as if he'd become invisible. Walked past all of them. And he actually didn't realize until later, when he was outside, that God had also miraculously healed his legs. He was so focused in what God had told him to do about getting out there. That takes a lot of guts. Imagine being locked up in prison and God says to you, "Look, I want you just to get up and go out. You'll get out, just go." How many of us would tackle that? So here he was in a place of confinement where he's hearing this word and thought, "Yeah, I'm going to go for it." He's so focused on that he forgets about the legs. And before you know it, he realizes God has healed him through that as well. If you're interested, the book is called The Heavenly Man. If you're interested in reading that, The Heavenly Man, Brother Yun, that is. So these things just highlight that the work of God remains true as we trust in him, even through trials of the worst persecution. Each of these examples would follow in the footsteps of Paul, and you know, simply by what they had to endure during that time and what he endured during his imprisonment. As Paul says, "I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ." The Praetorian guard know that he's in prison for his religious beliefs. His friends and enemies are motivated to share Christ. So this implies that people are coming to faith as a result of this. The gospel is advancing, and because of that, even in jail, Paul rejoices. Rejoices because God is still at work. So you see, it's our perspective on life is incredibly important because it can indeed make or break us. So we need to look for the providential work of God in the midst of tough times. What is God doing? And perhaps even if you look at what is happening around us in the world today, sometimes we get too focused on ourselves, or our own country, our own town, and as a result of that, we don't really take into the fact that God is actually working. In this world, God is doing some amazing things. And it just allows God to open our eyes to see what he's doing in these days. And it does take time. It is a challenge to actually look for good in amongst the bad things. It takes time to develop. Sometimes you'll have to push yourself because you can't actually be bothered. But Google's a great thing. You can just put in simple statements about where is the church growing and start to read of the amazing things that God is still doing today. But we need to look for them and have God open our spiritual eyes. You know, even Paul was aware of this when he said, I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that what has happened to me has turned out for the best. Imagine writing that to others from prison. What has turned out to happen to me is for the best. Others will know how to support us in prayer when we are open enough to share the very things that we're going through. I know that every one of you would be willing to go away and pray for me if there was some difficulty that I was going through. And that's the kind of mutual thing that brothers and sisters in Christ have. And this is where Paul is so grateful, because he knows the church in Philippi are supporting him. And he receives strength through that. In fact, Paul says in verse 20, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. At that point, he didn't know what he was going to face. In the very near future, Paul would go before Caesar. At that time, the emperor was Nero, not a nice man. He was compulsive, corrupt, wildly extravagant, and a violent man who ended up killing his own mother and one of his brothers. I imagine being in trial before him. Could you lift your spirits? Could you rejoice when you know you've got that? So you see where the perspective on life just changed everything for Paul. Even though that was lying ahead of him, still he was in that place of rejoicing. And he is sharing that with his brothers and sisters. So it was this dangerous man, Nero, who would decide whether Paul would get the thumbs down and send him to his death. Yet he rejoices. This is not because Paul is naive or in denial. Neither has he, you know, emotionally shut down to protect himself from more pain. He truly believes that all this is going to work out for the best. And as a result of the best, we have that letter today. Where it's passed on, and we still have these letters that are passed on today. Anyway, Paul sums it up like this. He says, for me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If he's allowed to live, it's going to mean more fruitful labour. If it's death, it's an enemy that Christ has conquered. So he doesn't have a fear of that. And for those who trust in him, it's actually become a means of gain for his people. You know, the fear of death is being peddled continuously throughout the media. Now, it's not saying to ignore warnings, but I'm saying that death is not the end for us as believers. And Paul captured that. And therefore, it doesn't carry with it the same fear that many people find ourselves in. God is doing some really great things. But unfortunately, the great things that God is doing doesn't come under the heading of the kind of news you get through the media. They love negative news, sells papers, it gets people watching. And therefore you won't hear about the things that God is doing and the work that is happening just now. What you will hear is the church is in decline. I'll be quick to tell you that, I'll point that out. And it is true in some areas, but it's not the whole truth. And that's where the news and media tend to pick up. It'll be part truth of what you're getting, but it tends to be the negative. They don't tell you the whole story. In the last 40 years, Christianity has exploded in Africa, Asia, and South America, with hundreds of people confessing Christ every single day. Why have I not heard that in the news? Why are we not hearing about that? There's a phenomenal thing happening today. In Africa, for instance, you know, in the 1900s, there was only 8.7 million adherents to Christianity. Now they're talking about 390 million. And it's expected that by 2025, there could be as much as 600 million Christians in Africa. God is at work. There's also a distinct possibility that within the next decade, the largest Christian nation in the world will be China. China, which is known as a communist country. Something that was totally unthinkable and considered impossible, especially with the continued persecution. They still face it today. They're not allowing people to put crosses up. They're pulling them down. There's churches getting pulled down. There's people getting killed. Pastors are getting put in prison because they're not adhering to the Chinese church, if you like. And yet, even there, Christianity is booming. The word of God is getting out there. The Chinese government will say that there are 44 million Christians in China. That's their official figure that they're saying. That's state figures that they're talking about. Whereas other sources, which include the underground church, parts of what Brother Yun is part of, he's part of the house church movement, they're talking about 116 million in China, as opposed to the state figures, which tell you 44. God is at work today. And there are times we need to be reminded, because we can look, you know, too much locally and not see that God is so much a part of the bigger picture of what he's doing in the world. The word of God is still going forth. And that's why it's worth supporting these different organisations who support the persecuted Christians, who get Bibles out to people who are not allowed them. Certainly in China, they don't want them out there. They're not allowed to print them locally, but China does allow them to print them to get exported to us. Isn't that interesting? Probably one of the biggest exporters of the Bible is China. The word of God is coming out of there, but they're not allowing it internally. Strange, but God is at work. So you have this persecution of Christ or Christians. It actually brings faith to the surface. It helps transform people. So Paul's perspective in life not only inspired and encouraged him, it was also good for all those that surrounded him, who were involved with him. So what or who surrounds us or influences our perspective on life? Is it Christ? Or is it the fear of things that could happen, might happen, maybe? Whereas with Christ, things are certain. God is at work. God is doing amazing things today. Don't get caught up in all the negativity that's out there when it is only part of a story and not the full truth. If by the grace of God that we made Christ our perspective, the good news of Jesus would expand further, further than we could ever imagine. And certainly we would find ourselves all rejoicing. So my prayer is that God would continue to work in us, that he would work through us, and it would all be to his glory. Amen. Amen. May God help us transform our thinking and help us look for those things that God is doing today. God is at work. Amen. 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 Vivian, I'm going to ask you to come up and lead us in a closing time of worship, please.